kiss his mother or wrong to kiss his mother? Today we're going to read a passage where Jesus skewers his enemies with a question that they refuse to answer and don't know the right answer either. But the main lesson, the main point of our sermon today is about authority. Who do you listen to when you make decisions about your life? Please turn to the Gospel of Matthew today. Yes, we're taking a break from Galatians. We're going to do a Palm Sunday sermon, but not strictly right on Palm Sunday this year, but from Matthew 21. Our main passage will be 23 through 32, but we're going to actually start and read some of the Palm Sunday section. So we'll start with verse 7 through 11, actually 7 through 17, and then we'll read 23 through 32. Matthew chapter 21, 7 through 17, and then 23 through 32. Let's stand, if you can, for the reading of the word of God's word. Matthew 21, verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you made it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, 'Out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise'?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. Now the following morning, verse 23. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. And he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir,' but did not go. 'Which of the two did the will of his father?' They said, 'The first.' Jesus said to them, 'Truly I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him.'" This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. We're going to look at first the importance of authority, secondly, the importance of John the Baptist's authority, and finally, the supreme importance of Jesus' authority. First, then, the importance of authority. By what authority are you doing these things? Notice, as we begin this, that it's the chief priests, they were Sadducees, and the elders, probably from the Sanhedrin, probably Pharisees, so politics makes strange bedfellows, right? They united these two. It'd be like far-right Republicans and liberals getting together in hatred of Jesus. That's what you have going on here. The chief priests and the elders come to Jesus. By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority? It's a great question for Jesus and for us. You see, for them, Jesus was neither an official priest or an official rabbi. What right did he have to come in and clean up the temple and heal and do these things? The question for us today still is, who or what is your authority? How do you make decisions? How do you live? Everyone lives by some authority. For many, it's themselves. Others, it's traditions, the world, the crowd, want to please other people, peer pressure. Everybody else is doing it, Dad. Oh, okay. Cultural norms, religion. Pastor friend of mine, Newt Larson, says that one of his neighbors told him, "My father said God will never judge anyone for sin." So she's basing her eternity on what her father said. Other people trust what science says about evolution, as the English call it, evolution, and the fact that there's no God. Everything can be explained scientifically, materialistically, right, without God. Who needs him? For example, Stephen Hawking. Esther told me on a Wednesday night, Esther Hawkins, that the former atheist, Stephen Hawking, died. Former atheist, okay, I got it. The renowned Cambridge University physicist died recently at age 76 from Lou Gehrig's LDS. I'm sorry, ALS, thank you. I had it written down, but I said it wrong. LDS is Latter-day Saints. Anyway, sorry. I don't know where that came from. Colleen's teaching a cult. Anyway, ALS, sorry. But he had ideas and great theories about black holes and mind-boggling theories of the universe. Fantastic ideas. But he rejected the reality of a creator God. In 2011, Hawking said, "I regard the brain as a computer which will stop working when its components fail. There is no heaven or afterlife for broken down computers." That's a fairy story for people afraid of the dark. Will you trust Stephen Hawking's opinion about eternity? Or will you trust what God says in his word, the Bible? For example, Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die." There's no reincarnation. There's no coming back and all that. "It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment." The only sure authority is God himself and his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. "All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete." Everything we need is in the Bible. Not everything is fully explained. Not all our answers are in there, but everything we need to know is there, equipped for every good work. The importance of authority, the importance of John the Baptist's authority, Matthew 21:24-27. Why does Jesus bring up John the Baptist? They're saying, "What authority are you doing this?" And he says, "Well, I have a question for you. Where did John's baptism come from?" So why does he bring up John the Baptist? Because if these leaders will admit John came from God, which they won't, John's ministry was pointing ahead to the greater ministry and authority of Jesus himself, the King. They will then have to admit the authority of Jesus if they admit the authority of John. They're linked together. Jesus said sinners are brought into God's kingdom by John. In the parable that follows of the two sons, verses 28 through 32, what do you think? A man had two sons. The first was asked by the father to go work in the vineyard. I will not. But then he changes his mind. It's a word similar to the word repentance. It actually means he changed what he had inside of him. But repentance is technically changing your mind. More on that in a minute. But change what he had inside by God's grace and went. The first son represents the tax collectors and the prostitutes. They seem to be disobedient, but repentant. The second son, I go, sir, but did not go, represents the tax, represents the leaders, the chief priests and the elders of Israel, who seemingly, outwardly, were good, nice, religious people, but actually were not obeying God, rejected both John the Baptist and Jesus. The point is, everyone enters God's kingdom, his saving reign, Jesus' saving reign through repentance. Jesus came for the sick, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, those who need a physician, not the healthy, not those who think they were okay. And it also points to show me your faith. Verbal faith is not saving faith. The first son, the second son says, I do, but he didn't really believe. Faith that changes us is saving faith. Repentance was a theme of John's preaching, Matthew 3:2. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what Jesus says later, the same thing. And so he sends the disciples out and they say the same thing later. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent again means to change your mind. Change your mind about who you are, that you are a sinner. Change your mind about who God is. He's holy. I'm not. He's offering me grace through his son. Change your mind about who's your authority. God is, not me or the world or anyone else. And you change the direction of your life. Repentance is that you're heading one way, doing your own thing, following your own way, and then God in his grace spins you around and turns you towards him. That's repentance. Changing your mind and the direction of your life by God's grace. I need to go God's way, not mine. Matthew 3, continue 7 through 10. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, again, those are the chief priests, coming to his baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers! That's not really a welcoming kind of preaching, is it? But anyway, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not presume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The fruit of your life shows true repentance or not. They were saying, we're okay. You know, we're sons of Abraham. We're Jews. Faith is not genetically passed on. So today, don't begin to say, well, I grew up in the church. My parents, my grandparents were Christians. J.C. Ryle, preacher in the 1800s, said, open unbelief and sin has slain its thousands. But profession without practice slays its tens of thousands. Those who, I'm in because my parents were in, or I raised a hand once many, 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 many years ago. Jesus taught that John was the greatest of the old covenant prophets. Matthew 11, major cross reference for today. If you want to turn there, I think they're all projected here for you. But Matthew 11, 7 through 15, in the context, John was having some concern, some doubts about Jesus. Sent messengers, are you the one, really, Jesus? So So even John was struggling some. But so Jesus then answers him, go tell John. He quotes from the Old Testament, the blind see, the lame are healed, and blessed is he who is not offended by me. Then as he went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, more than a regular prophet. He's the supreme messenger of the old covenant. This is he of whom it is written, Malachi 3:1, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. Truly I say to you, among those born of women, aren't we all? But anyway, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. They're fulfilled. But John's coming. Sounds like Galatians. And if you're willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. John is the culmination of the old covenant. All the prophets and the law prophesied until John. The turning point to the new. Jesus says John is the Elijah that the Jews are still looking for every Passover. Brian Crawford was here last Saturday night with the Passover, explaining the Passover meal. And he explained that the Jews even today leave an empty chair at all their Passover meals, which is coming this weekend, on Good Friday night. They'll have an open chair at their table with a name Elijah, because they don't believe in Jesus. They're still waiting for the Elijah, the forerunner, to come to bring the Messiah. Jesus says John the Baptist is that forerunner, the Elijah. Malachi 3:1 again. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he's coming, says the Lord of hosts. Then Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord comes. And he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with the decree of utter destruction. Is this fulfilled in John? Yes. The angel Gabriel, Luke 1, 16 and 17. Angel Gabriel to Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, in the temple tells him, but his son, you're going to have a son in your old age. He will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him, before the Lord God, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. But by the leaders of Judaism, chief priests and elders, John was considered a weirdo fanatic. And they also criticized Jesus then as a glutton and a drinker. Matthew 11 continues, Matthew 11, 16 through 19. But to what shall I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates. We played the flute for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not mourn. They played a happy game, a marriage game, some think, and a sad game, perhaps a funeral-type game. Do kids play marriage games? I've seen when my kids were young, Logan was a pastor, and he married Brendan and Tricia in a wedding game. But anyway, that's a long story, but it was fun. Anyway, but they played a marriage game, you know, sing and dance and funeral. But they didn't respond. They didn't do either. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. The Jewish leaders would not be satisfied no matter who came, who God sent. These leaders are concerned about pleasing the people. We're afraid of the crowds, back in Matthew 21. but they themselves are never pleased. Ever known people like that? No matter what you do, it's not good enough. Anyway, that's another whole sermon. But anyway, these leaders, though, are their own authority. They reject God's authority. They deny John the Baptist's authority. They deny Jesus' authority. D.A. Carson writes on this, if they cannot discern Jesus' authority, it's because their previous unbelief has blinded their minds to God's revelation. The Word of God and the Son of God, Jesus, should be enough for all of us to repent and believe and follow the Lord Jesus in faith. So John came to bear witness to Jesus, the true King and Messiah. Matthew 3, 11 and 12. John said, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who's coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry or untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire, judgment. His winnowing fork is in his hand. And he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he'll burn with unquenchable fire. John's whole ministry points to the coming of Jesus. John 1, 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Verse 19 of John 1. And this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I'm not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. I think he's denying it here because their definition of Elijah was different than the biblical one. They're looking for a military commander to come bring in the military Messiah. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. They said to him, who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? He said, I'm the voice of one crying out in the wilderness. Isaiah 40. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. I'm the fulfillment, the forerunner of the Messiah. And then verse 29. The next day, he, John the Baptist, saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This was he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. John was all about pointing to Jesus. There was no one born greater than John, Jesus said. But the astonishing truth back in Matthew 11 is that the least in Christ's kingdom now is greater than John. Wow. The newest follower of Christ, the youngest Christian, is greater than John in understanding the reality of who Jesus is and what he did for us in his death and resurrection. See, the kingdom of God is both now and future. As Dana said about Hosanna, it's both completed and we also anticipate. We enter the kingdom of God, his saving reign through faith in Jesus Christ now, Christ alone. And he reigns over us. And we enter into his kingdom and have life. But that life and the fullness of the kingdom is still to come, and with the new heavens and the new earth and a bodily resurrection. But one who's born now into Christ's kingdom by faith is greater than John. Wow. Do you realize that? You understand more than John did. You understand the death and resurrection. He didn't. John was killed before it all happened, before it was completed. If John was a witness to Christ, how much more then should we be? We know Christ as the true Lamb of God who laid down his life for our sins, right? And rose again. He took our sins away by faith, and he lives in us by his Spirit. And we can at least tell people, I once was lost, but now I'm saved. I once was blind, but now I see, right? Well, let's move on to the supreme authority of supreme importance of Jesus' authority. John came to point us to Jesus. If John is so great, Jesus is greater. Jesus is the chosen stone, the foundation of God's entire kingdom building. Jesus divides humanity into two groups and will crush all opposition. As you turn back to Matthew 21, the chapter towards the end of it, and we read verses 42 through 44. Following another parable, Jesus skewers the Jewish leaders. Jesus said to them, verse 42 of Matthew 21, have you never read in the scriptures? You don't want to hear Jesus say that to you. Okay, just a side note there. Have you never read? Ouch. I mean, you should have got this, guys. But have you never read the scriptures? It's Psalm 118, where they got Hosanna from, right? Have you never read in the scriptures the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? Referring to himself. The stone that the builders said, and that's useless. We don't need that. And the builders are the Jewish leaders. We don't need Jesus. The Messiah. Come on, we don't want him. That's the cornerstone. That's the foundation of everything that God's doing. The foundation everything's built on, and even possibly referring to the ending capstone that finishes it all. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing its fruits. And the one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. And when it falls on anyone, it will crush him. You either build your life on Jesus or are smashed by him today. To be apathetic, well, some say, well, I'm not against Jesus. Yes, you are. If you're not for him, if you're just indifferent and cold, I really don't care about Jesus and all this religious stuff. You hear people say that kind of thing. That's the worst kind of rejection. I think it's worse than atheism. Just the attitude, because at least the atheists have taken a stand, and you know they're trying to think it through. But the worst kind is just the people that don't care. They get up on some Monday morning, they don't even think about God. Eternity, heaven and hell. Jesus has given all authority by God the Father in heaven and on earth. Following his resurrection, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, to his disciples, the 11, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. By whom? By whom? By God the Father. Jesus has given authority. Where do we see this in Scripture? Jesus has given authority to give his life and raise himself again. John 10:18. No one takes it from me, referring to his life. You're talking about laying down his life as a good shepherd. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. The Father gives Jesus the authority to raise himself from the dead. You know, commonly we say the Father raised Jesus, but he also raised himself. Here it is. I have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. Jesus alone has given authority to save, John 1:12. But to all who did receive him, Jesus, who believed in his name, he, Jesus, gave the right, or the same word, authority, to become children of God. Isn't that beautiful? That's the gospel. If you believe truly in Jesus Christ and trust in him alone, he gives you the authority, the right to become his children. Jesus alone has given authority to judge, John 5:22-23. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, Jesus, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Today you meet people and you talk to them about God. They'll say, well, I believe in God. I just can't accept this Jesus stuff. Well, they don't honor God. You don't honor God unless you honor Jesus. You don't honor God unless you have faith in Jesus Christ. The judge of the final judgment will be Jesus Christ himself. Jesus even says this himself, Matthew 25, when the Son of Man comes and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. What an awesome claim Jesus is making. I am the final judge. The great white throne judgment will be Jesus. Only those written in the Lamb's Book of Life will enter in through faith in him. Jesus alone has given authority to raise the dead, John 5:21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. He gives life now to all he chooses. Those who trust him are raised now spiritually. I think both are at play here, spiritual resurrection and physical, as we continue 25-29. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, spiritual resurrection, when the spiritually dead, will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself, And then verses 27 through 29, and he's given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Now he speaks of the physical resurrection in the end to come. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment or condemnation, hell. The only ones who do good or please God, again, are those who have faith in Jesus. Jesus alone is worthy of all praise, honor, and glory. He's worthy of you surrendering your life to live under his authority daily. He alone, Jesus alone, is worthy of your supreme allegiance. One of my new favorite commentators, Sean O'Donnell, good Irish name, has Jesus saying, "By what authority am I doing these things?" Answer, by God's authority. "I am the Son he sent." "Who gave me this authority?" Answer, God did. "I am the stone he set in place." By God's authority, I am the Son and I am the stone. And so we are to say with bowed heads, soft hearts, right, and raised hands, "What authority?" Not "what authority," but "what authority?" What heaven sent, God given, sweet to be under authority. "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, every day to the end of the age." Some concluding questions. Have you repented and trusted Jesus? All of us, like sheep, have turned away and gone our own way. We've told God, "I will not do what you say. I will not obey you. Do my own thing, thank you." But by God's grace, have you changed your mind? Do you recognize your desperate need of Christ as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world and your sin by trusting in him alone? Secondly, will you submit to Jesus then as your authority? Is his word, the Bible, your final authority for all you do, think, and believe? "It's not my will, but yours be done, Father." Is that your prayer? "Show me your way in your book, Lord God. Teach me, guide me, instruct me. Enable me by the power of the Spirit to obey even when it's hard, like loving and forgiving even when people have hurt me or offended me." Do you surrender daily to live for the glory and honor of Jesus, your King? To honor his authority. Don't just shout Hosanna on Sunday, but say yes to King Jesus on Monday through Saturday. "Yes, Jesus, I will follow you, even when and if it hurts. Now, while looking for the supreme joy to come." Take a few moments, if the Lord's speaking to you about anything, talk to him, and then I'll close this in prayer.